Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Tony Stone, coming off their first four-game series at home. The Montana State Billings softball team ended up taking on Northwest Nazarene, won all four. Tony, this was a really interesting series from the standpoint of a softball fan. We got to see just about everything. We saw great defense. We saw slugfest. We saw some very strong pitching performances. This really had it all. Let's talk about that first day. Boy, the home runs were just flying.
Yeah, you know, the wind was out there helping everybody. You know, it was just one of those days where no matter how good the pitching was, it seemed like offense was going to take over at some point. And it sure did. Both teams, Northwest Nazarene and us. I'm not exactly sure if it was something in the air or what was going on, but everybody seemed like they were dialed in offensively. And, you know, I think the score showed that in the first game, 21 runs. You know, we ended up winning in extra innings, 11-10, and ironically on a squeeze play. But, yeah, offensively, you know, we came alive, and, give credit to Northwest Nazarene. They're one of the toughest teams offensively to face. You know, one pitch you might be able to throw and get them out with it in one at bat, and then you come back and try and throw that same pitch to them the next at bat, and they're going to, you know, hurt you with it. So very difficult team to play, and, you know, although their record doesn't reflect how scrappy they are, they're a very tough team to play. So, you know, overall I'm pretty pleased with you know, winning four of four this weekend from a team that, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you play them, and that's very difficult when you go up against a team like that.
You asked me what the most exciting play in baseball or softball is, and I'll tell you, the suicide squeeze. I love it. It's not something we get to see as much as we used to, but everybody loves a home run ball, and certainly that always brings everyone to their feet. But that's a gutsy call in that situation. Was that something you had to think about, or did you feel pretty comfortable sending Frank home in that particular situation?
Well, you know, the situation called for it. We had one out, and Trina Stacks, you know, one of our best contact hitters. And I thought, you know, with one out and a runner on third, I wanted to give her at least one swing. And I believe it was a 1-0 count, and she ended up swinging and fouling the pitch off. And I think in a way it took everybody out of the mindset of the squeeze, and that's why we immediately went back to it. You know, defenses have a tendency to continue on with what just happened. So she just swung the bat. Okay, maybe she's swinging away, and then we come back with the squeeze. And, yeah, it took a second or two for me to think about it, but, you know, Trina's just one of those players that you have every confidence in the world that she's going to get it done. And it was just the right situation, right time. You know, we're the home team. If it doesn't work, you know, Tarina's on first with two outs, and our number 2-3 is coming up to bat. So, you know, the situation called for it. If it didn't work, we were still in the game, still up to bat, and we were the home team. So, you know, it was just one of those things where I felt confident in the players that we had in that situation to get the job done.
It was interesting. I think the thing that I love about softball more than any other sport, and baseball to some extent too, is there is so much strategy involved. And, you know, frankly, a lot of times it is a roll of the dice. You know, we did have some runners that were thrown out at various times. And a lot of times when people will see that, they'll say, oh, they shouldn't have gone. Well, maybe it took a perfect play to get them. You know, you roll the dice and, you know, there's a pretty good chance they're going to get home. A lot of times somebody will get picked off on like a line drive. Well, maybe there's a hit and run on at that particular situation. Everybody's saying, oh, geez, how could that runner get pulled off there? Well, you know, it's just kind of bad luck from that standpoint. A lot of strategy in those first two games in particular. A lot of them worked. Some of them didn't. And I suppose that's just softball.
That's what I tell the players all the time is that, you know, when I do make a call, their job is to execute. If it doesn't work out, it's my fault. And I try and take the pressure off of them that should whatever strategic move that I want to happen not go the way it was planned, you know, it's my fault, not theirs. And I think that helps them in being more comfortable with the situation. You know, we hit and run a lot. And, you know, we've been doubled off a couple of times, but it's also been, you know, on average, a more successful play for us. And, you know, given our speed, given our, you know, tremendous hitters in our lineup right now, I wouldn't go away from it just because it doesn't work for us once or twice. So, you know, ultimately it's one of those things where, you know, I'm confident in us to get the job done regardless of what I call. And if it doesn't work out, hey, that's on me. And I think that really eliminates a lot of the pressure on the players.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. We'll be back with the second part of the Coaches Show with Tony Stone coming up next.
Where can you find Yellow Jacket apparel and memorabilia? It's all at Jackets & Company. They've got you covered. Everything from that t-shirt to that special Yellow Jacket coffee mug to that really special doodad you just know you have to have. Why not go now? That item you were thinking about buying is just sitting there waiting for you. Go ahead. They're right around the corner with five Beezer's locations to serve you. They've got it. You know it. Jackets & Company. On campus, downtown, and online at www.jacketsandcompany.com.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with Tony Stone, the head coach of the Montana State Billings softball team, coming off a four-game sweep of Northwest Nazarene. Boy, firmly entrenched atop the Great Northwest Athletic Conference standings. I know it's still early, a lot of games left. I think the last time I looked, I think you're two games on top. And, you know, again, coming off the four-game sweep, coming off some very, very impressive games, it seems like this team is on a nice roll.
Yeah, you know, it's fun in a way to watch the players develop, and you know, to see what they can do on their own. You know, in practice, I always say, "I got them. That's my time." But the games are yours, and I've noticed, you know, lately, you know, we had some field cleanup with the snow last week. And girls showed up a little bit tired for that first day, and you could tell that it was a tough day for them. But they still found a way to pull through, and like I said, it's fun to watch them persevere through, you know, some adverse situations. I don't think Arizona or any of those teams in the nation in the South have ever had to shovel 2-3 tons of snow off the field and then go play a four-game set that weekend. I think that says a lot about this team and how strong and good they've become. And like I said, it's fun to watch. It's nice when I don't have to do much but just stand in the third base box and watch them do their thing, because, you know, it's always been one of my things as a coach that, you know, I want to prepare this team so that when they do get out on the field, I can sit there and they can do what I've taught them to do, what they've learned throughout their entire careers in softball, and that's to enjoy, you know, being competitive. And I think they're at that point where, you know, we need one or two things to bring it all together, and then all I get to do is sit on the bench and talk about fishing or something like that.
I gotta be honest with you, I got what I think is a pretty good story. I'll let you be the judge, but I'm sitting there actually take my daughter out of school because she's just itching to watch some softball. So she's a freshman at West High this year. They just started practice this week, as a matter of fact. But I get her out of school for the first day, and I'm sitting there at, you know, game didn't actually start till 1 o'clock to give the field a little. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, boy, this, and I actually say it out loud, boy, this weather's actually really nice. Well, a lady about two seats in front of me turns around and says, well, are you nuts? This is freezing. Well, it was Jenna Van Eikeren's mom, who's from Las Vegas, so I got to know the story a little bit. I got to be honest with you, 2 hours and 40 minutes later, when that first game was getting done, I was a little bit cold as well, so I thought that was kind of a hilarious aspect of it. I mean, this game, that first game, I don't know that I've ever seen a college softball game go 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, after the second game was over, I turned to somebody and I said, this is the longest day of my life in terms of coaching, you know. And, you know, Debbie will think it's cold if it's 60 degrees out. You know, here in Montana, we think that's a nice day. Overall, it started out to be a very nice day for us. You know, the sun came out. It was just, you know, unseasonably warm for March, but we'll take it. You know, it's anytime we can get a day like that when we're playing, we'll definitely take it. Sometimes we joke around that the week when we're practicing is nice, and then the weekend comes along and it, you know, the weather doesn't seem to turn out the way we'd like it to be. But, you know, we got lucky last weekend, and, you know, although there was some snow before the weekend, it was a great weekend for us in terms of weather. So yeah, I'm pretty happy anytime the sun's out.
from the standpoint of both days, though, obviously from an offensive standpoint, I can't imagine you have a whole lot of complaints. I mean, just up and down the lineup, I don't care if it was your first hitter, your middle hitter, your bottom hitters in the lineup. I mean, it just seems like they're pretty much interchangeable. You're getting home runs from, you know, girls that are batting in the lower part of the lineup. Everybody seems like they were getting multiple hits. You've got to be pleased from the standpoint of the offensive performance put on the part of your team.
And I've always said this, that I would hate to have to face our hitters. Sometimes our catchers and I get together and we talk about, you know, the good hitters on the other teams, you know, our scouting reports and things like that. And there's, you know, 3-4 hitters in another lineup that, you know, we might want to, you know, be a little bit more careful when we pitch to them. I think it was about a year or two ago, I was looking at the lineups that we have and that we've had in the past here at Montana State Billings, and I've always thought about that. I thought, geez, I would hate to face this lineup. I wouldn't know where to pitch. I wouldn't know who to pitch to. I wouldn't know, you know, what to do in terms of trying to face this lineup, because like you said, up and down the lineup, 1-9, it's tough. You know, I think we just cracked the 300 mark. For a team batting average, we've hit 27 home runs. We've got over 40 doubles. We're about ready to set the record for runs scored in a season, RBIs for one of the kids in a career, total bases for one of the kids in a career. It's just there's a lot of good hitters in our lineup, and like I said, I would hate to face this lineup because right now they're doing pretty well. And you know, we were talking about it yesterday at practice. You know, I asked a couple of the team captains, do you think we're playing our best right now? And it was immediate, no, we're not. And I thought, boy, that makes me feel good because that room for improvement is still there. And like I've been saying the past couple of weeks, once we hit our stride, it should be pretty fun to watch.
One thing I really like to see, and the one thing I was most curious about coming in, since this was the first time I got to see you all play this year, is what kind of play you would get out of those positions where you lost some players last year. I'm thinking of shortstop Jessica Frank, obviously one of the best shortstops, you know, in the nation, certainly in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference last year. I thought Whitney Whittemore looked great. I thought that Frank in the last game looked very good at short. I thought center fielder, I know that was a position where you were shuffling around a little bit. They made some great plays. I'm thinking of the, you know, the play at home that was a huge play for you. Second base, I know Stevie played last year switching off with Jenna quite a bit. But those particular positions where maybe you had to, you know, I don't know that you had any question marks, but certainly from a fan standpoint, girls we haven't got to see a whole lot, certainly they seem to have filled in very nicely.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The players that you lose through graduation, you know, it's an ongoing process, you know, recruiting, bringing the players up that are underclassmen to fill positions, things like that. At this time, I'm very comfortable with where we're at. You know, the middle positions, shortstop, second base, we graduated Jessica, we graduated Jenna Hockey. Not only were they tremendous defensive players, but, you know, great hitters. And those were the two areas coming into this year that we had to recruit for. And with Stevie and her ability, I mean, she's what, you know, 4'2", maybe, you know, but she plays like she's 10 feet tall. She's diving, gets dirty, makes just about every play that comes her way, and has taken over that position. Whitney and Alyssa, I think between the two of them, no problem whatsoever putting any one of them in at any time during a ball game. They're going to get it done for us. So I'm pretty happy with what we've got so far. Yeah, a little bit of a question mark coming in. We had some pretty good competition at some positions, and you know the ones that have, you know, emerged, even still, they've got some room for improvement. But we're certainly happy with what we've got there right now.
One thing that was noticeably different between you and Northwest Nazarene, too, is we got to see four really, really good pitchers. Of course, we knew that from Lisa Moore and Rebecca Satza, and then all of a sudden we get to see the freshmen come in on the second day. And, of course, you needed Casey Condor in the first day as well, you know, when the wind was blowing out to relieve Lisa going into those extra innings game. How nice is it to come up with the seniors on the first day and then know that you could rely on somebody like Casey Condor and Josie Grotbo on the second day, just freshmen. I mean, that's not a luxury. We've talked about it before. Not a luxury a lot of teams have.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a strategic move. In the first day, I think, you know, getting strong performances from our upperclassmen, Becca and Lisa, it's something that I want to accomplish in that first day because it I don't want to say it makes it easier. I think it relaxes everybody. First day is always important, and when you have your senior leaders in the circle, I think it helps us. You know, at home is an advantage. We have a lot of upperclassmen, but when you put your upperclassmen in the circle and they're the ones in control of the game, I think it gives us somewhat of an edge. That it also relaxes the freshmen. You know, the next day coming back, Casey and Josie, you don't view them as freshmen when they're in the circle. They might have some, you know, intimidation, nervousness, things like that. But I think after they throw that first pitch, it all goes away. They're very confident in what they're doing after that. And, yeah, I tell you what, it's awful nice to have four pitchers on your staff that you could call their number at any time, and they're going to go in and help you win a ball game.
Going to talk about the games coming up this week, including a game at home on Wednesday. And, yes, it will take place despite the snowfall we received on Tuesday. We'll be talking about that on the third part of the Coach's Show. Coach's Show is brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. We'll be back with the third part of the Coach's Show coming up next.
Catering to today's traveler, the Juniper Inn offers affordable, quality accommodations with king and queen size beds and new executive facilities for the business traveler. The Juniper Inn offers complimentary shuttle service as well as special medical and corporate rates and much more. Their friendly staff works hard to cater to your special needs. Juniper Inn, 1315 North 27th Street, Billings. Call toll free 1-800-826-7530.
Ken Adelblue back with Tony Stone, head coach of the Montana State Billings softball team, as they get set for six games this week, two games against the University of Mary at home, and then they're back on the road for a couple of doubleheaders at Central Washington. Let's talk about University of Mary first, and this was interesting. You know, I think, you know, I was looking at it from the standpoint, and sometimes I forget just how important non-conference games are. Because I think, you know, I'm thinking from a conference standpoint, you certainly want to win those games. But when we talk about regional standings and things of that nature, the regional rankings, obviously you want to take this game against the university, these games against the University of Mary very seriously.
Yeah, they actually count as in-region games, although they're not technically part of the Western region. The NCAA came up with the contiguous states rule that says that if a state borders Montana and they have a Division II school that plays such as North Dakota, South Dakota, and they come over and play or we go over and play them, they will be counted as in-region games for us. So they're just as important as if we're going to Phoenix or going to California to play games out in the West. So, you know, and give credit to the University of Mary. They're a tough ball club. They always have been. Good coaching staff, good players. I think it's somewhat of a, you know, a misnomer that they're, you know, Bismarck, North Dakota, maybe they don't have the level of softball that the Western region, you know, plays to. But not at all. Don't let that fool you, because, like I said, they've got a good coaching staff, they've got good players, and these games are very important to us. And there's a little bit of a rivalry there with Mary, because they are, in fact, the closest Division II school to us right now. And, you know, they've beat us a few times in the past couple of years, and I think it created a little bit of a rivalry that, you know, the players that we have right now, they're confident in what they're doing right now. Mary's kind of on a downslide, but, you know, that doesn't mean that they're going to be a pushover or anything like that. There isn't a team out there that I think that you could call a pushover, and, you know, records don't reflect how, you know, good a team might be or even how bad a team might be. And, you know, I know Coach Olson will have them ready to play us tomorrow.
You had an interesting point when I was talking to you after the games the other day. You said by actually losing these games, it would probably actually hurt you more than winning would actually help you. So, I mean, again, from the standpoint, when you're talking about postseason play, even the possibility, and we'll talk about that later on, you know, in the Coach's Show, maybe down the road a little bit, the fact that you'd like to maybe actually host a regional here, these are the types of games that will ultimately determine that.
Yeah, if we don't happen to win the conference, then for us to get into the postseason, we'll have to get an at-large bid. One of the main components of those criteria is your strength of schedule. You got to play in-region games in order to be considered for an at-large bid for the regional tournament. Any in-region game that you can get is going to help you, but given the nature of where we're at in Montana versus the nature of the California schools, where they can get in-region West games anywhere they go. I mean, it's not a problem for them to get, you know, more in-region games, which will help their strength of schedule. So the more in-region games we can play, the better for us, but it is a tough spot to be in, because winning those games, yeah, it certainly helps you, but if you lose them, it's a tough road to come back from, because the region is so tough. Western region, well, the national champion is in the Western region in Humboldt State. You know, it's a very tough region to be in. So, yes, the more games you can get in region is good, but you certainly want to take care of business when you do get those games.
And certainly a very favorable schedule for you the rest of the way. Now, the flip side of that, not a favorable schedule to start the season. So when you head down to Central Washington this weekend, again, winning 3 of 4, certainly taking 4 of 4, I would imagine would put you very firmly entrenched atop that GNAC heading into what is essentially the second part of the season and looking very good from the standpoint, a lot of games at home.
Yeah, we have a tough weekend. Central Washington is a lot better than they were last year. We played them 6 times last year, beat them 6 times, and then the first time we played them was actually in California this year. They beat us extra innings 4-3. So, you know, they're an improved ball team, and, you know, give them credit. They're doing pretty well right now. I think it'll be important for us to go down there, as I've said all year, one at a time. You know, it is a 4-game set, but we want to approach it more as one game at a time, one pitch at a time, one out at a time. For that reason, that, you know, we're at the top right now, but we don't want to let down. We don't want to take anybody lightly. We don't want to take being in first for granted, because I tell the kids all the time, it's harder to keep it than it is to get there. And, you know, we're there right now, so it's going to be a tough task for us to keep it. Like I said, Central's playing better than they were last year. They've got better pitching. Their offense is solid, and they've got good defense. So, you know, it'll be a tough weekend again. You know, anytime you're out on the road, if you're 500 or above, you're happy. So that's what we're looking for. We're going to go in there, play it one game at a time, and hopefully we come back with that first place still in hand.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. Congratulations on the great year again so far, Coach. Looking forward to the games against Mary, and best of luck to you in Central Washington.
All right. Thank you, Ken.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.